Are you ready for the conscience of psychiatry? For the best-selling author of Talking Back to Prozac, Medication Madness, and now Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, it's the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour with guests unafraid to speak the truth about psychiatry and psychology and about how you can make the most of your own life.
And this is Dr. Peter Bregan. It's an exciting time right now here in the Ithaca environs. We've had a really heavy thunder and lightning storm. I was going to do the show from home, and it knocked out my telephones, and then my cell phone went out for whatever reason. So I couldn't communicate from home, and so I drove through the thunder and lightning to get down here to my usual place, my office. And here I am, because I wouldn't miss this show for anything. And I certainly wouldn't want to miss Orly Wabaugh, who is my guest today. You're going to enjoy her. You're going to like her. If you haven't heard her before, you'll be surprised by her. I had Orly on the show. We were trying to figure it out. I didn't get a chance to look it up because of the thunder and lightning and everything and racing through the storm. but we think Orly and I think she was on about a year and a half ago, and she wasn't famous then. Ginger picked her up online as somebody who is really a young and interesting educator, entrepreneur, community activist, who wants to inspire people to make the world a kinder place. What could be better for this show than that? It was just in 2011 that she founded a group called Life Vest Inside. And she'll tell you again, how she arrived at Life Vest Inside for her organization. And you know, its mission, well, empower and unite the world with kindness. What do you think of that? That's been my mission too. Folks, you may not know that. You may not know that, but that's been a huge part of my mission too. She will tell you more and more about that. Now, when I had her on, I couldn't have said the following. Her award-winning film, Kindness Boomerang, went viral with 30 million views. I hope I helped launch her, but golly, I'd love to launch myself to a movie with 30 million views and counting. And a TED Talk in 2013 on the magic of kindness. I'm not going to tell you anything more about her background. I have more, but I want to just jump in. Orly, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. So excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Let me spell Orly's name for everybody, and then I'm going to step back. Orly is O-R-L-Y, and her last name, Wabaugh, is W-A-H-B-A. So I'm giving you the reins. Run with the ponies.
Oh, boy. Run with the ponies. I like that. First of all, I just want to say that I'm so honored to be on the show again. I really appreciate it. When Ginger reached out again, I was just so happy. I had such a great time on the first show, and so much has been going on since the last time we spoke, like you were mentioning. So thank you so much again for having me.
I'm delighted to have you, honey. I mean, this is really a great thing. So go ahead.
All right, I know you mentioned that you want to hear the story behind Life Vest Inside again. Life Vest Inside, like you were mentioning, it's a nonprofit organization, and it's geared towards spreading kindness and empowering people, building self-esteem and self-value. And the way I kind of explained it, it's really about helping people recognize just how awesome and amazing they are and the ability that they have to affect positive change in the world with something as simple as kindness. Because, you know, one of the biggest, so many of the social issues actually that are going on in today's time, you know, when you investigate and ask, why are these things happening? Why? And you keep asking why and you keep searching. What we come to find is that one of the core reasons behind all of this is a lack of self-esteem and self-value, a lack of self-worth. People not recognizing just how valuable they are, that they're significant and that they do in fact matter. And even though they might be 1 in 7 billion, the number that matters the most is one, is that they're one, and that they're a very, very important piece of the puzzle. Like I very often say, puzzle pieces, each different shapes, different colors, but all the same size. Everyone just as important as everyone else. And that's one of the biggest, biggest issues. And so at the core of Life Essence side, you know, if I were to use one word to define the organization, it actually wouldn't be the word kindness, oddly enough. I know, it's pretty odd. It would really be the word empowerment. It's really about making people recognize that within themselves. And the greatest tool to empower is kindness. Because when a person is engaged in an act of kindness, and think for a moment, you know, an act of kindness that you've done for somebody, and how made you feel after you did it? You feel awesome. You feel really like on another plane. And the reason for that is because really what we're doing is we're catching a glimpse of our potential. Wow, I made that person smile. I touched that person's life. And so we're being validated for the right reason, not the things that society tells us should validate us. It's not about, you know, how much money we have or how many friends we have or how many followers or likes or views or whatever it might be. Those are not the things that really give us that validation. They're empty. It doesn't really make us feel great about who we are. The only person that can give you that validation is you, is recognizing that you matter. And regardless of what you do in life, you are important, and you're an important piece of the puzzle, and you have purpose. And so that's exactly what Life Essence Side, is all about. But this journey really kind of started so many years ago. I mean, just a bit about my background. I was a middle school teacher for 7 awesome, amazing, amazing, ridiculous, amazing years. I love teaching so much. There's not a day that goes by, literally, that I don't think about my students or talk about my students because they were my best friends. And it was a transformative time for me. And the concepts of the organization of Life Essence Side, about empowering people, about helping people recognize their purpose, and that kindness isn't just something that we do. You know, it's not like, oh, I do kindness. You know, I do kindness on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's not something we just schedule, but it's something that we actually live. So these concepts were concepts I implemented into my classroom on a regular basis, and I saw the kind of impact that it made on the kids' lives, not just in terms of their academic success not only increased, but just in terms of their interpersonal relationships, the way that they saw themselves, their ability to see that they can achieve. And so, you know, this was a kind of teaching was sort of a piece in my puzzle to get me to Life Essence Side. But, you know, this kind of started this concept of, you know, like, oh, so, you know, you want to just change the world. That's a great thing. This kind of started since I was like a little 4-year-old kid that dreamt of changing the world, literally. That was my dream. I wanted to bring people together. I didn't understand why there was such animosity in the world with people from different backgrounds or religions, or races. And I just didn't understand and get the concept of it. And I said, I want to be able to show people that regardless of our differences, regardless of all the things that the media tells us should separate us, regardless of all of that, the common thread that ties us all together is kindness. And, you know, if we just create dialogue amongst people, just dialogue, that's really what it is, to help us see that we all believe in the same thing, that we could change the whole entire world. And I know people, you know, call it naive. My brothers used to make fun of me. I always tell this to people because it's so true. They did. They used to make fun of me, and they used to sing to me the Michael Jackson Heal the World song. They're like, okay, Orly. And they still make fun of me to this very day. But it's really possible, and I think that we've all believed it as children, except somewhere along the way as we get older, we can go through hardships in our life, or we can be kind and we can be hurt by it, by being kind, that sometimes we become a bit bitter, a bit cynical. But really in our core, inside of every single one of us, we want to believe so badly. We do. But we just need to be able to trust again, create that dialogue again, and recognize that we're all speaking the same thing. We're all on the same page. And so, like I said, this has been part of my journey for a very long time. But a lot of people ask me the question, just like you mentioned, so I'll tell you the story again, Peter. Life Fest Inside, what is that about? You know, how does kindness tie into a life vest? You know, like, all right, you guys in the life-saving, you guys some sort of a boat company? Actually, it's funny. Sometimes I get emails with somebody, you know, this is like few and far between, but people are like, oh, I'm actually looking to purchase a life vest, and I'm like, sorry, and I send them over to a different life vest company. But people always ask that question, what is the connection? And this was really an inspirational story that happened to me back when I was teaching in 2007. Little did I know that this experience would end up shaping what I would do with the rest of my life and help me find my purpose. So back in 2007, like I was saying to you, I was a middle school teacher at the time, at a school in Brooklyn. It was January time, and I was going on winter vacation with my family. And at the time, there was a young girl in my community who was diagnosed with leukemia. She was a 6-year-old girl. I didn't know her personally, but, you know, she was connected. We were all in the same community, and so praying and sending positive thoughts her way. And I get onto the plane, and there was a stopover. And so I get off the plane to go on to the next plane to transfer, and I was listening to my voice messages. And excuse me. And as I'm listening to my voice messages, I received the tragic news that she just passed away. And I was, like, extremely, extremely, extremely devastated. Like I said, I didn't know her personally, but I was, you know, praying for her and sending those positive thoughts, and we were all hoping that she was going to get better. But the first thing that I thought of when I heard this was my seventh grade students back at home. You see, they had lost a classmate of theirs only 3 years prior when they were in fourth grade. And literally right before winter vacation, they started opening up to me about it for the very first time and asking questions that are really, really tough. Like, how do you make sense of it? Why do certain things happen? Why do bad things happen to people? And I just started being able to get through to them. And it was not an easy thing, not an easy topic. So what am I going to do when I get back home? I know for a fact that, you know, these kids are going to hear about what happened because we're from the same community. How is it going to be able to explain to them how something yet again so tragic and devastating happened? You know, how do you make sense out of a world that sometimes to be, you know, so chaotic? Where do you find the order? How do you stay afloat in a world that sometimes seems to be pulling you downward? And all of these thoughts are going through my head. And so I'm getting onto the next plane, the transfer. I'm thinking, how do you stay afloat? How do you make sense of it? And I had tears in my eyes, literally. And the stewardess, she sat me in a seat I wasn't supposed to be in, but I'm one of those, like, firm believers that every single thing happens for a reason. So I sit down, and thoughts are going through my mind, and I look to the left, and right there on the wall of the plane, there was a tiny little sign, and it said on it three words that would end up changing the course of my life. And it said, life vest inside. And then some black people will be like, okay, Arlie, what's your story? It says life vest inside, you're on a plane. But I took it as a real, real strong message for me. What's a life vest? You know, no matter how much you push down on it, it pops back up. So the message I took was, Orly, your ability to stay afloat in a world that sometimes seems to be pulling you downward, your life vest, it's inside of you. It's through the kindness that we bestow on others and through the kindness that others bestow on us that we keep each other afloat in a world that sometimes seems to be pulling us downward. Because, you know, every single one of us, every person listening to this call, every person that might listen to it, every one of us has gone through some sort of adversity in our life. Everybody has been at a point where they felt like, you know, those obstacles, those curveballs, those hardships, they're going to come our way. We can't stop them. But what we can do is we can throw somebody a life vest, a lifeline of kindness to help, you know, keep them afloat. And that little vest, even though they're still surrounded by those waters, they're still surrounded by those troubles, that little vest is the difference between life and death. That little bit of kindness that people give to us. And I'm sure that so many of us can recall people in our lives that have really, really left an imprint. And it wasn't these crazy life-altering things that they did. It wasn't these huge things. But it's these small things that they did at the time when we needed them most. And that, if anything, should empower us to recognize just how powerful we are. That each and every one of us, regardless of what we have, or how smart we are, how fast we are, how this we are, without any of those things mattering, each of us can do a tremendous amount of things. Just by being who we are, just by our small little acts of kindness. And so,
let me take a breath a minute, because I think that that's the longest I've ever let anybody just talk at the start without interrupting.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's great. I mean, that's why I didn't interrupt. You're so full of life, and you're so positive, and you're saying something that is so fundamentally true. It's so fundamentally true. That if we are thoughtful, caring, kind, empathic, any of the words we use to express caring about another human being will, in fact, change us and potentially change them. When you talk about these things, do you get more specific about how to be kind or what to do to be kind? or do you emphasize the basic fundamental idea that you're describing? Like when you did your TED talk, do you get more specific, or do you feel that it's the general encouragement that people need?
Well, it's both. I mean, generally encouraging is very important. But you see, it's very easy to be inspired, right? We can be inspired to want to make change. The hard thing for everybody, every single person, is taking that inspiration and turning it into action. You could go on, let's say, a seminar. You could hear a talk, or you could do whatever. You could experience something, and you could be inspired. You want to change your whole world around. But how you take that and turn it into action? Life Lessons Inside, definitely inspiration is part of the model. But that's not where it ends. That's just where it begins. So we're really about giving people the actual practical ways to implement change in small, simple ways to help them make that shift from inspiration to action. And to be honest, the model that I use, and I can go into the philosophy of how we do it, is exactly the same model that I used as a teacher in my classroom with my students without even knowing it. It's the same exact thing. Because, you know, when a person wants to make some sort of a big change, it's very easy to want to take a lot on. And then when you see that you couldn't get to a specific goal, to give up and to be really upset. A lot of people work off of the negative of what they don't do. With Life Lessons Inside, it's all about working off of the positive. Don't look at the things that you don't do. Don't get yourself feeling guilty. How come I don't do this? Because that's never going to bring any positivity. Focus on what you are doing. Focus on the fact that you're already doing so much. And let that propel you to take the next step. That's very much very relevant, to especially to our concept of with the social issues going on. There's so many people that fight against them with the anti-movement, whether it be bullying with anti-bullying or drugs with anti-drugs or depression with anti-depression. So they're using something negative to fight against something negative, which really only perpetuates more negativity. But what Life Lessons Inside is about is preventing those issues from coming into existence by simply looking at why they actually came in. And the key to it is empowerment. The key to it is that self-value. So instead of anti, pro. I could definitely give you more information about how we make that shift. It's sort of the LBI philosophy that I sort of sum up with four words, which is inspire, engage, educate, and unite. I can give you more information on that.
Well, yeah, I want to hear you talk as specifically, you've been talking broadly, and I'd love to have you talk as specifically as you can. You can talk about those four elements.
Perfect. So basically, the way the psychology behind there, the way that we sort of make the shift, the first, and like I said, it's through these four words: inspire, engage, educate, and unite. The first step is inspiration, because inspiration is important to inspire people to believe again, to believe that change is possible, to believe that kindness is the way to get us there, to believe again in themselves. And how do we do it? So we inspire through two means, through film and through social media. Film, like Kindness Boomerang, like you mentioned, went viral, reached over 30 million people. And the reason is not because I did any sort of marketing gimmick. I knew nothing about social media when I posted that. It was simply because it connected with people, because people saw themselves on the screen. Inspiring people to recognize and see those small things can make a difference. And film is a phenomenal means of being able to inspire. So through film and through social media. Now, when I say social media, a lot of people can have a negative connotation, a negative image of what social media can mean. But the way that we utilize social media is really connecting with people on a one-to-one basis. And our philosophy is no comment gets left behind. Every single person is important and unique. And so we reach out to people on a one-to-one basis and create that relationship and get them involved in the process of Life Lessons Inside. So if a person just watched a YouTube video and they leave a comment, it's not just a comment. We actually we foster that relationship with them to bring them on board and give them something simple, the next step. It's not about the long-term step of changing your whole world around, but it's the next step and engaging them in the process. So very many of our social, like the people that connected with us through social media, come to that next stage. And like I said, with the word engagement. So once a person's inspired, you've inspired them to believe again. The next step is to engage them. But to engage them in a way that they can actually incorporate this change into their life in simple, easy, manageable ways, and something that can stick. And so how do we do that? We have various programs, and I'm going to give you just a bit of an understanding of the engage level. So, for example, we have what's called a Kindness Ambassador Program, which is so simple to get involved on. You go onto the site, you register to become a Kindness Ambassador. Very simple. And you basically, as an ambassador, you receive a weekly kindness task every Monday that takes somewhere between 2 to 3 minutes to complete. But at the same time, you get to keep track of your progress. and be connected with global ambassadors from everywhere around the world, and be able to, on a platform, be able to share your experiences and your stories and have a real, real amazing support system right online. So it's so simple to do. It doesn't take much time, but it's again, giving people those small things so that they can increase their awareness.
Orly, give me an example of a kindness task.
Okay, an example of a kindness task. I'll tell you one that went out just a couple weeks ago. So we had one that said, write a letter of appreciation to a former teacher or a person that had made an impact in your life and send it to them. And it's so funny because just a week ago, one of the ambassadors, her name is Heather, she was out here in New York and we met up and she basically shared with me her story of what she did. She said she reached out to an old teacher of hers, like a teacher of hers from when she was in, I think it was in second grade, she mentioned, that really made a tremendous impact in her life at a time where things were really difficult. And she sent her this letter, and they ended up getting together, and she even cooked for her dinner. And she shared with me this experience, and I was like, this is amazing. So it's something that can be as simple as writing a letter. It could be something as simple as, you know, be aware of doors that need to be opened and hold the door open for someone, or give a call to a friend that you haven't spoken to in a while. There are hundreds of different sorts of ambassador tasks, and people can even suggest their own tasks.
Give me some more examples. I really want people to hear what you're asking people to do. Some more examples of being a kindness ambassador.
Sure. So other ideas for being a kindness ambassador. So we had one, I'm trying to think of like certain ones that really made an impact on people. Oh, we had one, someone sent such a great story about this, of picking up a couple of flowers and just handing them out to people. You know, getting two or three flowers and handing them out to people randomly on the street. We got an amazing story back from someone that did that. She's like, it's so funny. I never even thought of this, but I walk by flowers at the shop every single week, every single day going to work. And so I bought a couple of, you know, like loose stems and, you know, connected with a few people. And she said, you don't understand the kind of relationship that I ended up creating with these people that I met. Like, that's really amazing. Something so, so, so tiny, so, so simple. Or reaching out to, you know, a grandparent, calling a grandparent you haven't spoken to in a while. Some of them are a little bit more difficult. Like, for example, we had one that said, you know, call a person you've been meaning to ask forgiveness from. You know, go to visit somebody that you've had, you know, maybe a negative sort of, or write a note to them. Something that's a little bit more difficult that really does take a bit more courage. But the reason that being part of the ambassador program is awesome is because you have other ambassadors that are encouraging you and inspiring you to do it as well. Because you hear their stories, and then suddenly you're like, wow, you know what? I could do that too. That's something that I can, you know, I can definitely do. Or bringing, we had one about, you know, food, that after you have dinner, you go out for dinner, let's say one night. And it's funny, this just happened with me and my grandma last night. I was with my grandmother. And you don't finish your meal. So instead of having the food being thrown away, ask them to package it up and, you know, look for someone that might be interested in having the meal. And if not, perhaps, you know, obviously saving the food, because we know food is very, very important. So recognizing the value of food, or recognizing the value of a smile, or holding the door open for someone as they're, you know, noticing people coming into elevators. You know, sometimes you close the door, you're like, okay, I just want to get to my next flight. But there are literally, like I said, hundreds of things like that. So, that's one of the levels of engagement in terms of the Kindness Ambassador Program. One of the other levels, we have our Acts of Kindness card campaign. So we have our different cards. Each deck has 26 different acts of kindness. And you basically perform the act, and then you pass the card to somebody else. And on the site, you can write about your story with that specific act and even post your selfie taking a picture as a proud card-carrying member of kindness. These are really simple things. We also have a kids deck that's available. They're so awesome. And on the engage level as well, one of the most exciting things I can tell you about is a project that we launched recently called Project Hope Exchange. So my question to everybody out there is, do you have 30 seconds to spare? And if you do, you can get engaged within Project Hope Exchange. What it is a platform that was created in conjunction with another nonprofit called Adversity to Advocacy. They are a phenomenal, phenomenal nonprofit organization. And basically what their objective is to turn people that have gone through adversity, to match up people that are going through adversity with others that are also going through that adversity. So turning people that are going through adversity into advocates. What Project Hope Exchange is, it's a platform where people can give hope and get hope all in 30 seconds. Because each and every one of us has experienced adversity in some form, whether it be mental health or physical health or life challenge. And through this platform, you can either call the Hope Line or go onto the site, projecthopeexchange.com, and you can leave a 30-second audio message of hope for someone that is going through an adversity that you've gone through in your life. So whether it be a cancer survivor, leaving a 30-second message of hope for somebody else that's going through cancer, or a person that had just went through a terrible divorce, leaving a message of hope for somebody that's currently going through that. And you can go onto the site, and you can also view messages, listen to messages of hope broken down by category. And the idea is that when you give hope, you get hope. And so it's a tremendous, it's a, such a powerful thing, and it's all done through audio, and it's all, you know, anonymous. And it's about connecting with not just the external of a person. So there's no picture of the person. It doesn't matter what a person looks like, but what's inside of the person. And so it's a phenomenal way for somebody that, that has gone through something tough in their life to see that their whatever they've gone through can become a source of hope and inspiration for so many hundreds out there that are going through that same thing. Because without hope, everything is lost. And so Project Hope Exchange is a 30-second way to engage people. And everyone has gone through something like this. And that's another level of, you know, of engagement. One of the last things that I'll mention in terms of the engage level is a fun, crazy fun event, and it's called Dance for Kindness. It's a worldwide freeze mob flash mob. So basically people freeze in different kindness poses, like let's say somebody on the floor or somebody bending down to pick them up or somebody hugging someone that's crying, whatever it might be. People freeze in kindness poses for 3 minutes. And then it turns into a flash mob. And last year, we had the event in 25 countries, in over 40 cities, all on the same exact day, dancing to the same song, same dance. We had video footage from it. This year, we just closed group leader registration because the event takes place this year on November 9th in honor of World Kindness Week. And so we just closed group leader registration, and we've had over 200 applicants to be group leaders in over 70 countries. And so one of the things I've been doing now is meeting with all these group leaders from all across the globe, people that have never organized events. But the idea is we're giving them ways to do it in a very simple way. I mean, that's like my methodical teacher style, you know. And it's so amazing to see people rise to the occasion and take on that leadership role. And so this year it's going to be greater than ever. Dance registration is going to open up in the beginning of September. So you're able to look at it, you know, be able to check it out online and register for the location in your city. And then you get an email with the dance tutorials. You could learn it in the privacy of your own home. And your group leader reaches out to you to organize a rehearsal the day of the event. And on the same day, everyone takes part in this global event, showing that regardless of the differences that separate us, regardless of the differences in race or religion, ethnicity, that common thread is kindness. And so
this is going to be your first global event, Orly?
This is going to be our third annual.
November. And how many people have you had at these events?
So last year, the first year we had 15 countries. The second year we had 25 countries. And as I mentioned, this year we've had a registration from over 70 countries. So I have to, if they're not, you know, secured in yet, I'm meeting with every single person. I meet with each individual person separately. So we have over, I think right now, about 33 group leaders that are officially on that I've met with. And it's going to be wild. My hope is to have at least 50 countries this year. Last year, we had about 5,000 people participate in at the actual dance. And it's just growing at a really rapid pace. So it's very, very exciting because it shows people, when people know that they're actually taking part in an event together, it's a very, very powerful, very powerful experience. You know, one of the events, actually, and this is very fitting for things that are going on, and Life Lessons Inside is not affiliated with any religion or politics or anything like that, but I just feel that, especially with what's going on right now, we had one of the dance events, we had a group of Muslims and a group of Jewish people that took part in the event together and were embracing in the event together, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And, I think that the main thing that what we're trying to bring out to people is recognizing that what we need in this world is we need that dialogue. We need to recognize that our base of who we are, base.
Carly, we're going to go to break. I'm having thundering lightning now. It's now reached down to Ithaca, started at my home. I'm going to say, if I lose all connectivity, I want my engineer and you to go on with the show without
okay.
me, okay? And
okay,
we're going
no
to go to music. I've never asked anybody to do that before.
Hopefully
we're going to go to
that
music and break now, and we're going to come back again with a marvelous Orly Wabaw, W-A-H-B-A, Life Vest Inside. And this is Dr. Peter Bregan with my guest, Orly Wabaw, W-A-H-B-A. She has created Life Vest Inside. Ginger was one of the first people to recognize her on the internet and bring her on our show. And since then, Orly has just done marvelous things, as you're hearing on the air. And she's going to finish up some of what she was talking about and go on and tell us about this kindness boomerang video that went viral with over 30 million viewers. And I want to hear about her experience with the TED Talks. I've not had anybody on the show who has specifically talked about the TED Talk process and what it was like and what it felt like. So I'm going to launch Orly again. Some of you who've not heard me on the air before, I usually talk much, much, much more than I am. Usually have a to and fro conversation. I interrupt. I give opinions. But Orly has just had me speechless for a while. And I'm just going to launch Orly Wabaw again. You're off.
Thank you so much.
Take
Thanks
off.
So much again. So, yeah, I mean, I was just to pick up from what I was mentioning before, we were talking about sort of that philosophy of how Life Vest Inside helps people go from that inspiration to action. And I spoke a bit about the inspire level, that it's about starting people up by inspiring them and how we do that. And then it's about engaging people. And I mentioned some of the platforms that we have and things that we use in order to get people involved and engaged. The next step, because once a person's inspired and they're engaged and they feel that connected, the next step is educate. And so on the educate level, be it with children or with adults, really we're saying two words. We're saying you matter. On the children level, we developed an educational kindness curriculum that aligns with the Common Core State Standards and Bloom's Taxonomy, and it brings kindness, compassion, and empathy into the classroom. Right now, we've developed it for grades K through 5. It's developed with one unit of study, each building one upon the next, and it's an absolute phenomenal, phenomenal program, and people can find out more about the educational goals of Life Vest Inside on the website on lifevestinside.com. We also have resources on our website for teachers to be able to use with their students and parents to use with their children. It's really, really phenomenal. So on the education level, be it with children in the classroom or going into schools, speaking in schools, running programs in schools, or on the adult level, be it speaking in companies and helping to bring kindness into the workplace and kindness into our environment on a regular level. The core concept of educate is to remind people that they do, in fact, matter in this world of 7 billion. And finally, the next step, once a person feels that and understands that, they're now able to finally grow to that final level, that unite level, where they can grow to that leadership role and that position where they can help bridge the gap between boundaries from across the globe. And so on the unite level, we developed what is called the LVI representative program, where some of our greatest and most engaged fans that have been group leaders in our Dance for Kindness event get trained to become an actual LVI representative, an official representative for Life Vest Inside in their country, and bringing initiatives on the ground into their location. It's absolutely phenomenal. We just launched this year. We have about 12 representatives in 9 countries, and they're really, truly phenomenal people. We're working on, you know, building the program, making it even stronger. But that's kind of the model of Life Vest Inside, to inspire, to engage, to educate, and to unite, and help people make that journey from that initial phase of inspiration into action, and recognize that, and the most important thing is never to work off of the negative of what we don't do, but to work off of the positive of what we are doing, and let it propel us forward. I know that you mentioned kindness boomerang, which is, I have to say, kindness boomerang is the ultimate reason that we actually did a survey. We did an impact survey. And we asked people how they got to Life Vest Inside. And almost, I think it was about 99% of people, This is what the survey came. 99% of people connected with Life Essence Side because of Kindness Boomerang, which is absolutely wild and phenomenal. This is a short film that I shot, and you can find it on the Life Essence Side website or on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/LifeEssenceSide. And basically, it's a five-minute short. It's a music video that tracks an act of kindness as it goes down the road, and it goes from one person to the next and then boomerangs back to the person who set it into motion. And the story behind how this happened is really exciting and how it reached so many people. I was a teacher at the time. You know, I was a middle school teacher, and the concepts of the organization were beginning to formulate. And I said to myself, you know, I want to show people how kindness can move so easily and so amazingly from one person to the next. I said, you know, I was involved in film because my background in college, I majored in film production. So I said, why don't I film it? And I only had a summer's off as a teacher. So I said, I got to do this in a quick time. So I sat down and I started writing all different kindness experiences that I've been through. Moments in my life that left an imprint on me. And it would be small things. I started writing them on post-it notes. I had them like all over my wall. It was like a scene out of A Beautiful Mind. And the scene and the film kind of came to be. And we took each of these, I took each of these different scenes and said, I want to be able to show how this can go so seamlessly from one to the next. And that summer, within like a two-week time slot, which was crazy, we held auditions. We casted everyone. Each and every person is on the screen for maybe like 10 seconds. But each of them had a backstory that I had written that was maybe a page or so long, giving sort of the emotion about who that character is. And the idea is to recognize that the people that we bump into in our everyday, they have a lot going on in their own life. We just need to be open to it and be aware of it and recognize that something small that we can do can impact them. And so we shot the film all in one day. It was all done in one shot, and it was absolutely spectacular. September came. We shot it September 1st, 2010. School year started, and I was going back to school. And I hadn't shown anyone the film. I actually didn't show anyone the film for a year. I had it for a year without showing it to anybody. And I said, you know, I really believe that this is going to do something powerful. And I said, if I believe in this concept enough of Life Essence Side, and that's when I started developing the concept of the organization, that I got to go all in. And it was a scary thing because I loved my job. It wasn't like I was at a dead-end job that I hated. I loved it. I loved it. And I said, if I believe in this enough, I got to go all in. And it was a really scary decision. I told the school that I'm going to be taking the year off, and nobody could believe it. I was like the forever eighth grader. You know, I was never leaving the school. I loved it so much. And that following September, I wasn't in school. October, I put the film up online. And I remember things weren't ready yet. My website wasn't ready yet. This wasn't ready. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was a teacher for 7 years. I didn't know anything else. And so I said, but who knows? Maybe it'll inspire somebody. I knew zero about social media, like seriously, scary zero. And I put the film up online. And within a couple of months, the film started to go viral. And I actually thought that was like a normal thing. I was like, okay, this is what happens when you put something on. I had no idea. Like, I was seriously, wasn't planned. And people started reaching out from all over the world, from all different countries, in all different languages. And I was literally responding to every single comment in their own language. You know, Google Translate became my best friend. And people were like, how do you know all these languages? I was like, yeah, that's Google Translate for you. But it was absolutely phenomenal connecting with people, reaching out and sharing stories about how the film has inspired them and saved them. And there was one story in particular that I'd love to just share that happened, that I found out about the story this year from one of the current representatives. He reached out to me in some time in December, and he said to me, you know, Orly, I've been an ambassador for Life Essence Side for the past 2 years, and, you know, I've been following everything you do. I want to get more involved. Please, can we talk? So I emailed him back. I said, sure, let's get on the phone. So we got on the call, and we're on the phone for like 2 hours, and it was two awesome hours, you know, just connecting. And before we got off, and I was telling him how he could get more involved and what he could do, he's like, Orly, don't you want to know how I found you originally? I was like, you know, that's a really awesome question. I can't believe I didn't ask that question myself. So I said, yeah, tell me. He said to me, about 2 years ago, I was going through a very, very, very deep depression. I was going through a very hard time in my life. And I was being tormented by people in the worst way ever. And every aspect of my life, he said, was going wrong. He said to me, if the rope didn't break, I wouldn't be here. He had tried to commit suicide. And about a week later, he told me, somebody sent to him Kindness Boomerang. And he said, Orly, I watched it once, and I watched it twice, and I watched it three times, and I watched it 10 times. And I realized that it was speaking to me. And I saw on the screen, I saw myself. And I said, that's what I want to do with my life. And he said, since then, I've been involved in giving, and I've come out of my shell. And he's like, the more I gave, the more I healed. And the more I gave, the more I healed. And when he said that, my mouth dropped. And I said, I can't believe what you just said. And he said, why? I said, because you don't know my backstory. I said, my backstory, and kind of a very big, you know, sort of inspiration behind how I got into this. So when I was 15 years old, I was the shyest kid in the whole world. I would never be on a radio show, by the way, ever. So I was 15 years old. We went through a really rough time in my family. We had a fire in my house. My dad lost his business. It was one of those years, you know, when everything goes wrong and we think it can't get worse, it does. It was one of those years. And I was a very positive person, always believing everything happened for the best. And I, you know, but when you see your family break down like that, you see your parents that are your strong, you know, like they're the strong people, break down, it does something to you. And so you don't want to be more of a burden on them. You can't talk to your friends because they don't know what to say to you. They're going through their own issues. And so you keep things inside, which is what I did. I was one of those kids that didn't trust that people really cared. You know, I would test people, see if they really cared. We all do that, you know. But I fell into a really scary, dark depression. And I wasn't in school for a few months. And I literally wanted to give up on everything. But the saddest thing of all, and the thing that really brought me to the lowest point, was that during that time that I was home, not one phone call, not one person came to visit. Not one. And I never felt lonelier. And I was like that kid that if somebody was absent from school, I'd copy the photocopy for them, the notes, and bring it to them the next day. And I just didn't understand. And I felt like if I wasn't here the next day, who would even notice? And, yeah, I was ready to give up on everything. A few months later, I remember one morning, a not-so-special morning, I woke up and I was looking at myself in the mirror, like really looking at myself in the mirror. And the scariest thing happened, the scariest thing. I didn't see myself. And what I mean I didn't see myself, I didn't see that four-year-old kid, that dreamer, who dreamt of changing the world. I didn't see that kid looking back at me. And that really scared me. And I had no clue. I had no idea how I was going to get back to where I was. I didn't know. But I knew that I needed to start taking a step, and I made a promise to myself. And I promised to myself to be there for people the way that I had wished that somebody would have been there for me. And it was that promise that kind of pushed me and guided me. And that year of being alone gave me the greatest gift of all. It gave me the ability to fall in love with me, to love me for who I am, to find that validation from within me. And I finally found my own voice. You know, it was a long period of loneliness. But I finally found my voice about a year or so later, a year and a half later, as a senior in high school. And I started getting involved in everything. And the big change happened. I was on a school seminar, and we were sitting there talking about obstacles. And I raised my hand for the first time ever. Never would I ever raise my hand in public. And I shared an experience, and people were listening. And then, you know, peers of mine came up to me afterwards and asked me for advice about things going on in their life. And I started, and the more I gave, the more I healed. And I've always said that, the more I gave, the more I healed. And I was involved in everything. And so when Jeremy, when this boy told me, and he said those same words, the more I gave, the more I healed, it hit me so much. And I shared with him my story. And it was really so phenomenal. You know, connecting with people from all different sorts of, from all over the place that are sort of going through whatever experience it might be and seeing how something as simple as a film that was put up there impacted their life. That was the magic of Kindness Boomerang. It truly did boomerang back to me in a very, very big way, and it continues to make its journey around the world over and over again, inspiring people, saving people, you know, and helping people recognize that there is another choice, and the greatest choice of all is the choice of kindness and the choice of loving ourselves. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the story about Kindness Boomerang, but there's so much I can give stories from now till tomorrow. Yeah.
Tell us about the TED Talk.
Oh my goodness.
I've never had anybody on the show
talk
about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So it was like a dream. I was like, oh my goodness, TED, it's a huge, huge thing. So one of the first members of my advisory board, I was talking to him about it, you know, And he introduced me to somebody, and the person he had introduced me to sent me an email, and she said, "Orly, it looks like TED is doing a talent search. They started doing this about 2 years ago, and basically they travel to different countries, and they have people submit to them like a one-minute video, and they fill out this really long application. And from all the people that submit, they select a few people. They select, like, let's say 20 people or so to do a smaller talk. And then from all the people around the world, they choose some people to come and speak on the actual TED stage. So it's like a crazy process. And I remember the deadline was right away, and I was like, how am I going to get this? I said, you know what? I might as well try, you know? So I did my one-minute talk. By the way, saying a lot in a minute is not an easy thing. So I did this one-minute thing, and I sent it in the video, and I filled out the application. And the time of the deadline of them letting you know came and got and went. And I figured, all right, so I didn't get it. But you know what? At least I tried. About a day later, I get an email saying that I was accepted as one of the people from the U.S. Out of 30 people. And the week after, I had to give a five-minute talk out here in New York City in Joe's Pub. I was like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? You know, you applied. You have no clue that you're going to actually get it. You know what I mean? You don't prepare for that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have to prepare a talk. And there's, like, a rehearsal the day before the talk, you know, the day before that. And I didn't know that. And I speak all the time. As a teacher, I was always speaking, but I never, ever prepare a talk, ever. I can't do that because, like, I want it to come from, I like to connect to the audience or come from within me. I don't want it to be, like, scripted or whatever. So I had no idea. It was the hardest thing I had to do. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't script this. I don't know what I'm going to do. The day of the rehearsal came, and I was beyond nervous, seriously, beyond nervous. And I come in, and right there sitting, you know, all the people from TED, and Chris Anderson is there, and he's sitting in this, like, beanbag on the floor, and there are other people that are going to be speaking as well, and it's my time to go up, and I'm totally shaking. And I get up there, and I just went. I don't know. I just went with it, and, like, the words came, and I remember what he said to me after. He had tears in his eyes, and he came up to me, and he gave me a hug, like a real, you know, awesome hug, and he said to me, "I want you with me at Long Beach next year." That's where they did TED 2013. And I couldn't believe what he was saying. And I was just like completely, it was the greatest feeling, you know, feeling like the work that you're doing is actually validated by something that's so, so awesome like that is really great. And it made me more nervous actually for the next night. And so the next night I came into the actual talk and he's like, "Oh, we're going to put you last." And I was like, "Oh, why are you doing that?" He goes, "No, it's a good thing." I'm like, "No, it's making me so nervous." And I was very, very nervous that night. The talk, you know, went well. That one's online for people to see. But it definitely wasn't. I don't think it was as powerful as the rehearsal talk. I totally got myself psyched out. You know, you get yourself really nervous. And then the way that it worked is they put up all those videos with all the other places that they went to in other countries online on the TED site. And the videos that received the most views and the most comments and ratings. Some of those people were invited to speak at TED 2013. So in September, right after the summer, you know, they had given me a call and they told me that I was accepted and I was going to be speaking at the actual TED, on the actual TED stage. And at that point, I couldn't believe what was going on. I was just totally, and the nervousness went to a level of insanity. And so last year in March, I think it was like March 1st, I spoke. It was the last day of the conference I spoke. I was like the second to last speaker. And I spoke about the ripple of kindness. Unfortunately, the talk didn't go. It was a really beautiful experience. It was extremely scary. So anybody tells you it's not, they're totally lying to you. It's the scariest experience ever. And, you know, it was very, very nice getting up on the stage more than anything. And I said this actually right when I got up on the stage. And it's so true. I felt a great deal of responsibility when I stood up on that stage because it wasn't me standing up there for Orly Wava, and it wasn't even me standing up there for Life That's Inside. It was really me standing up there for every single person that's believing in this message and that wants the idea of kindness. And that kindness, the topic of kindness to be spoken about at TED, that's awesome. And I really felt that responsibility and felt so nervous and wanting to make sure that I was doing justice to all of those fans and all those people that are believing so much in me. And it was very well received, the talk, and received a standing ovation. I was totally, totally just like floored from it. Unfortunately, the negative thing about it, but I've come to accept it, and, you know, things happen, and we have to understand that. Unfortunately, they did not air the talk on TED, on the TED website. They don't necessarily air every single talk. They said that they just didn't feel that it was right for the TED audience. I'm not sure what that means, but at the same time, Like, the experience itself is really great. And knowing that the Topic of Kindness had a spot on TED is extremely important, because that's a topic that needs to be in the forefront. It's something that's
very
much important.
Orly, do you have any idea why they didn't put your talk up? I mean, how many
didn't
they put up?
To be honest, I don't. I mean, that was all I was told. It was definitely, I'm not going to lie and say that I was totally fine about it. It really hurt me when I first heard about it. Honestly, I really cried. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I'm very honest, open person. So it really did hurt, because I felt like, oh my gosh, all of that, and it's not there. I want the message to be received, for the world to see it, and for all those people that were rooting for me to kind of see it. They just basically said it worked really well in a live audience, but they just didn't feel that it would work for, you know, on the TED site. And I had to just accept that answer.
So it's not available,
actually have the video myself. They sent it to me. Oddly enough, I haven't watched it because I hate watching myself. But I'm actually planning, Peter, and this is a good thing, I'm planning in hopefully about a month or so to actually launch it. They said I'm allowed to post it myself, even though it's not on the TED site. So I'm planning to do a thunderclap campaign to get the video out there, and people can support by just connecting their social media sites to it and getting and spreading the TED talk. So I am planning on posting it myself, even though it's not on the TED site.
Let Ginger know when you post it. And I'm sure
I would love that.
We'll
any help in getting it out there would be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my experience. I know it's like a bittersweet ending, you know. But
how many of their talks did they not post?
How
unusual was it for them not to post your talk?
It was really unusual, to be honest with you. I was very taken aback. I didn't understand, because how could the Topic of Kindness not be for an audience? It's so important. I mean, I really still don't understand. It's just become something that I had to accept. I did meet somebody else at TED this past year that also they hadn't posted their talk. But again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure really what the answer is. We had a lot of LVI people reach out to them and get excited for when the talk was going to go live. But you know, that's what I was told. I wish I knew more.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've got about 3 minutes left. Do you want to say anything about how people can begin by getting in touch with you? What's the best way?
100%. I mean, one of the greatest things, definitely connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn. And it's basically, you know, Facebook.com/LifeFestInside or YouTube.com/LifeFestInside. Going to the Life Fest Inside website. So it's lifevestinside.com. You'll be able to find tons of ways to get involved. We have a get involved tab.
When you and I first were on the air, I had to send you all by yourself. Now you've got a great big we there. Do you have a lot of folks you're working with now helping you with ideas?
You would think so. I wish. We have a really small team. In terms of full-time people, I mean, I've been doing this full-time now for 3 years, and I basically invested my savings to start the organization. And so I've basically been working 3 years, haven't been working to bring money in. So obviously the savings are dwindling, and so it's a very scary situation because the organization is in very, very desperate need of funding to be able to continue. A lot of people...
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, it's definitely an issue. We have such a small team. It's only two full-time people, myself and my graphic designer. We have interns that come on board, but that's, for short periods of time. The world is wanting us to grow larger, faster than we can, but we need the help and the support. And it's hard for me to even ask that, but we need the help and the support of the global community that loves what we're putting out there to help us continue to grow and continue to move forward. I myself haven't taken a salary in 3 years, but I just
have
a message not to
Orly,
die.
Hang on a minute. I do want to just go back and forth a little bit, make sure we cover everything at the end.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
But I've just loved launching you out into the universe. Do you have a 501c3?
We do. We are a 501c3. We've been so since we started, and so everything is 100% tax deductible.
That's great. That's wonderful. And Do you ever plan to take money out for yourself? I mean, you need to do that.
I mean, it's very hard. For me right now, my main objective is that the organization is sustainable. That's my main objective, that getting it to the point where it doesn't necessarily need the donations or the, you know, obviously donations are always great. But in order to get it to that point, we need that large amount of money in the beginning. So or any small amount of money, even people just contributing a dollar. If everyone that watched the video was inspired to contribute this dollar, that would be $30 million. But it's been hard getting people to contribute. People can see where their money is going. We also have great opportunities for sponsors because we are a large, we might not have a lot of money, but we have a great deal of people that are involved and a great amount of global awareness, like through our Dance for Kindness. So we also have corporate sponsorship opportunities for companies that, you know, believe in the mission and the message of kindness and unity, to come on board and have a tremendous amount of exposure through our events, while at the same time supporting an organization to continue building a kinder, more unified world.
Folks, we're getting near the end. You've been listening to Orly Wahba, W-A-H-B-A, but find her through Life Vest Inside, in psychotherapy, in sociology, oh gosh, in all the humanities. We're moving more and more toward the idea that caring matters, that empathy matters, and Orly is purifying that concept in a very beautiful way. Orly, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.